Hallo, liebe Zuhörerinnen und Zuhörer. Ein kurzer Hinweis: Das Interview gleich wird komplett auf Englisch sein. Wenn ihr also dieser Sprache nicht mächtig seid, kann ich euch leider auch nicht helfen. Jetzt viel Spaß damit! Einen wunderschönen guten Tag, meine Damen und Herren, und willkommen bei einer neuen Ausgabe Rumble Pack. Heute habe ich einen ganz besonderen Interviewpartner, bei dem ich mich persönlich sehr, sehr freue, denn ihr wisst, ich bin großer Fan der Spiele, in denen er zu hören ist. Heute hier dabei ist Mr. Doug Coggle. Hi!
Hello, wie geht's? Wie geht's?
I'm fine, thanks for asking. And I'm actually hoping that I set your last name correct. Coggle, that's how
it
you
is, yes, yeah,
pronounce. Oh, okay, perfect. Because for a second I was like, oh, wait a second, how is the show? They would have been off to a rookie start, but great. Well, thanks for taking the time, because it's Saturday right now, and you probably have something better to do than just sit here with me and doing an interview, especially because I know you like you're a man of many trades. You teach, you do voice acting, you're an actor, like all these many talents. So. Yeah, thank you. Like, really, honestly, thank you that you will get taking your time. Sorry, taking your time to do the interview.
No problem. So, happy to be here.
Thank you. So, I hope you aren't sick of it yet about questions about the Witcher games.
Because I never get sick about questions about the Witcher. I love the Witcher.
Oh, okay, that is great. That is great. So, this is probably a question you have answered many, many times, but I would just like to ask. Anyway, back when the voice of Geralt got cast, was it a close call, or was it they heard your I don't know, did you like send a tape, for example, or did they invite you to come over to try out the voice, or how did that work?
Well, Witcher 1 was being recorded with a company called Outsource Media, and I'd worked with Outsource Media on a lot of games prior to The Witcher. So mm-hmm. when they got The Witcher in, sorry, my dog has just entered my little booth and is.
Oh, no worries. I'm just waiting for one of my huskies showing up, so it's not good.
Outsource Media shared with CD Projekt some of my previous work. Mm-hmm. And they liked what they heard, so they invited me in for an audition. And I went in and auditioned and worked with them a little bit in the studio and stuff. And eventually they cast me. I don't know how close a call it was, but I can say that between Witcher 1 and Witcher 2, it was a close call.
Oh.
I almost didn't come back for Witcher 2.
Was it a decision that CD Projekt Red made, or was it, did you maybe have scheduling conflicts? Oh, okay, sorry, yeah, didn't mean to interrupt you. Just go ahead then.
Okay. No, it's okay. CD Projekt, after the relative success of Witcher 1, decided to kind of go back to the drawing board. Mm-hmm. So they were using new technology. They were doing a lot of new things. So they changed voice production companies as well. And as part of that process, they decided not to recast the cast from Witcher 1, but to go with casting done by their new voice production studio, Side. So I had a friend who went to a casting for The Witcher and auditioned for Geralt and called me up and said, hey, Doug, I thought this was your character. I just went for this audition for Geralt of Rivia in Witcher 2. And so I was like, oh, gosh, okay. So I contacted someone I knew at CD Projekt Red and said, hey, I heard you're casting. I'd love to go up for Geralt again if you want me to. So, yeah, long story short, basically the director for Witcher 2 really liked my work and said to CD Projekt, hey, this guy's good. I don't see why we need to recast him.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So I came back. Actually. But if my friend hadn't called me, though, I might not have ended up being Geralt of Rivia in Witcher 2 and Witcher 3.
I mean, but that would probably be I mean, because let's face it, you're one of the main reasons that Geralt is such a lively and beloved character, because his voice is just so unique and just so remarkable. So, yeah, good thing that your friend told you about it.
Well, thank you very much for that compliment. Yeah, and I've loved being part of it. I've absolutely adored being part of the whole Witcher journey. So.
But actually, like, how did you find Geralt's voice, so to speak? Was it something from the start that you would know that, you saw the character and you knew he would be a bit darker and a bit growly? Or was it kind of a process to, like, find his voice in the end, like, where you wanted to go with the character?
Yeah, well, it was definitely a process. But in the audition, it was suggested to me by a guy named Boris from CD Projekt, mm-hmm. really nice guy. He suggested that I think of Dirty Harry from, Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
In the Dirty mm-hmm. Harry films. Yeah. So he was the one who kind of said, hey, think about this. And so that's what I went for. And I pushed it down into my lower register. And that's what ended up becoming Geralt of Rivia, really.
Nice. That's. Is it something you can do for a long amount of time? Or does it hurt your voice if you go so low?
No, I can do it for a long time now. When I first started, though, on Witcher 1, it was quite a stretch for me. It was a register that my voice wasn't used to going to.
Okay.
So, but over time, you know, doing the voice for 12 years, something like that.
yeah. Okay. I mean,
I've basically trained my voice to go
there
when I want.
Probably. Yeah.
And it's a fairly natural thing now. I mean, the funny thing is, I walk around my house now, and Geralt will slip out of my voice. I'll just be like, I'll be doing the dishes, and I'll just be like, oh man, this pan's really dirty. But it's not actually. I'm not trying to do Geralt's voice. It's just coming out of my face because it's part of my register
just,
now.
Yeah. And to be honest, a bit part of you as well, isn't it? I mean, you have played the character for so long, so a bit of Geralt is probably in you by now.
Yeah.
That sounded
yeah,
a bit
exactly.
wrong, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. So, I know what you mean.
That leads me to one of my next questions, because I, for example, also loved the game Victor Vran.
Yeah, Victor Vran.
And I actually didn't know before I played it that you also voiced the protagonist. So that was quite a pleasant surprise, but I was...
Made by a German company, I might add, Haymamont Games, I believe.
Oh, yeah, that's true, yeah. And but the thing is, like, why... I hope that's not a stupid question, so excuse me if it is, but why does Victor sound so similar to Geralt?
Oh, man. Do you know what? If you go back and listen to some of my other roles, there's some similarity as well. I tend to get cast as the kind of reluctant anti-hero.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I suppose Victor was, Victor's voice was a victim of my success as Geralt, as it were.
Because
when they cast me as Victor, they made no bones about it. They were like, right, we want Geralt's voice, but not Geralt's voice. And I was like, well, if I do a kind of Geralty voice, it's just going to be Geralt's voice. And they went, that's fine.
Okay, I see how it is. Okay. Okay, but for example, like the video game Smite is a game that I streamed for a long time for the developer and publisher Hyra Studios, for example. And there you voiced Chernobog, one of the gods. So, but he, for example, like, because, you know, when I played him the first time for... Maybe that's just then my naivete after playing Victor Vran. I was like, oh, and now I will hear Geralt again. But for example, like Chernobog, he voiced completely differently. Again, was a pleasant surprise, by the way, because I really liked how he turned out, how well it fit the character or the god that you voiced. So for him as well, the same question, I guess, is like, how did you find his voice in the end? Did you get directions of any kind, or did you just know that you wanted to do something completely differently than before?
Well, Chernobog was a particular thing. I met Tina. Tina... a grossreader from Hi-Rez Studios.
Yeah.
I can't remember when we first met, but we met face to face at MomoCon in Atlanta in 2018. Mm-hmm. But I think I might have done, I don't remember if I did Chernobog before that or after that. I don't remember. But we just hit it off. We really enjoyed each other's company. And she ended up casting me as Chernobog, and then she directed me for the thing. And all the only kind of pre-recording direction she gave me was, he's got to be, you know, he's an Eastern European god, so he has to have kind of a Russian or Russianish accent.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked on a Russian accent, and I kind of went into it with a sort of a Geralty voice, but I'm not doing a very good Russian
accent.
I think at the
moment. It reminds me of Dracula, to be honest. Like, you know, like the old Dracula movies, like in that direction. At least that's what I was reminded of. That I thought.
Well,
that
it's fairly heavily processed. So the Chernobyl voice
obviously.
That you hear, is not my normal voice. But so he just kind of evolved out of the processing, I suppose, really.
Yeah, okay. Understood. So back to the Witcher games, if you don't mind. Like, do you have like any particular favorite scene or quest or, you know, whatever, like something, I don't know, where you... really think like where your voice work really shines, where you really like to like remember a particular scene or quest, or you know, anything where you're just like, oh, that turned out brilliant.
No, unfortunately, no. My actor's instincts are very, very highly tuned to highly criticize everything I do. So
you know, I actually think this is something that all creative people have, don't they?
Yeah, I think
just
you're
like
right.
This inner, like the harshest critic is always like yourself when it comes to creativity. So yeah. Because you always think like, oh, I could have done better. Oh, damn, I should have went higher there, and you know, stuff like that. So if you don't mind me saying, like, my actually favorite thing of all is the Killing Monsters trailer when it comes to Witcher 3, actually. Like, I do love the game, played through it many times, but, you know, the E3 trailer from, I think, 2014, when the famous line from the books, evil is evil. Lesser, yeah. Greater, middling. And just loved the trailer. Like, when CD Projekt showed it to press, I think, like I said, 2014 around it must have been. And then, the Imperial Guard asked Geralt, what are you doing? And he's like, killing monsters. So, this is just my favorite trailer of all time. So, this is, for example, something that I think went really, really well. And another time, just thinking about it, so I hope you don't mind skipping ahead, because this is actually one of the questions I wanted to ask at the end. But you did see the Witcher series, right? With Henry Cavill?
Yeah.
How did you like it?
I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
I did too.
I pretty much knew I was going to, because I'd been interacting with Lauren Hissrich, the showrunner and lead writer and producer.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
I'd been interacting with her on Twitter and stuff like that. And she just seemed to be so genuinely in love with the world of The Witcher. And Henry, you know, has gone on record saying that he was a big fan of the games and the books.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just knowing that two of the people spearheading the project were such big fans of the Witcher world and Sapkowski's work and the games that CD Projekt created, I was like, this is going to be fine. They're going to make a great TV show. And I wasn't disappointed at all. I was challenged because the jumping around in the times in the TV series kind of caught me unawares. I was like, oh, what's going on? I don't get this. And then I remembered from the books, you know, different things. And then I started to kind of piece it together.
Yeah, but, me too. Sorry.
No. Yeah, but I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah, but me too, actually. So the point, to my shame, where I noticed that there was time jumping was at the wedding. I'm not remembering it so well, actually, to be honest. But you know, where the hedgehog person showed up for the love surprise, because
Dooney.
Oh, okay, yeah, because at that point my wife turned to me and she was like, so this is the past now, right? And I then just realized, oh shit, there are time jumps in there, so this is why she is alive. Because I was just so sucked into this world, because we binge-watched the whole season, and I was just so sucked into it that I didn't even, like, thought about it or anything. I was just like, okay, this is so awesome. You know, like stuff you see, you watch, and then you don't give it a second thought or anything because you just want to be entertained. This is what was happening with me. So, So what I actually wanted to ask, because I read somewhere that Henry Cavill like called you up or something to ask to give tips about the voice of Geralt. Is that true or
no?
Oh, okay.
That's a gossip mill thing. That's a myth. No, he never did. He did get in touch with me though, just before the London premiere of the Netflix Witcher series, and he invited me to go to the premiere, which was great.
Oh,
I was
awesome.
really pleased to be invited. It was such a nice thing for him to do, and that was all him, you know, that was just his idea. So I did get to spend quite a bit of time with him actually that evening, because after the premiere we went to a place in Soho, London, and there were drinks and canapes and
okay.
things like
mm-hmm.
that. But Henry kind of, he had a private room for his family and friends, and he invited me in, and we stood there sipping on beer, eating canapes, and talking about The Witcher. And it was really great. It was really funny. It was the weirdest thing as well, though. You know, two Geralts sitting there. The only person missing was Peter Kenny. Peter Kenny, he voices... He does the audiobooks, yeah. So if he'd been there, it would have been three Witchers in a room. That would have been crazy.
But did you maybe talk about the voice? Because, I mean, maybe I'm just hearing things, but I think that Cavill really is trying to somehow emulate what you're doing on the games with his voice, at least at some parts. I mean, or do you think I'm mishearing it?
No. He said that. He said he...
Oh, he actually said that. Oh, okay.
Yeah, he said in an interview that... he wasn't trying to recreate my performance, but he used my performance as a starting point for his own creation of Geralt. So, but the thing is, and Henry did say to me personally, it was really sweet. It was a really sweet thing. I was so thankful to him for just being such a genuine guy. He said, "Doug, thank you so much. I loved your performance as Geralt in the game so much. And I wanted to, I'm paraphrasing this, so, you know, this isn't the gospel or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, thank you. I loved your performance. And I absolutely was inspired by what you did, for what I did. And that, I was really chuffed to hear that. It was a really nice thing to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was going somewhere with that, and I forgot where I was going.
Oh, no worries, man. I have that a lot, actually. That happens to me quite a lot.
But what I was going to say is, he makes it his own. I mean, this is one of the wonderful things about acting,
definitely.
Is that good actors, they steal. They steal from other actors. Mm-hmm. And Henry he didn't steal from me, he borrowed from me, but then he made it his own. I mean, and that's what we do. When I was, a long time ago, I was cast as Benedick in Much Ado About Nothing by mm-hmm. Shakespeare. And I went and I watched Kenneth Branagh in his film of Much Ado About Nothing because I loved it so much. I thought he did such a great job. And I stole from Kenneth Branagh because he did it so well. But the thing is that I stole the ideas that he put on screen, and he may have well done the same thing with someone he admired, but I made it my own. And a good actor doesn't just try to mimic another actor's performance. They are inspired by another actor's performance, and then they do it their way. And Henry absolutely does that with The Witcher.
Yeah. I totally agree, because at no point I was like, oh, this is completely like the video game or anything. It always felt like something, that he like created on his own. So that's pretty great, actually. The next two questions. Can you still hear me? Because you
Yeah, you froze on me a little bit there.
Oh, okay. Sorry, but I hope you got your back. Damn you, Skype! I said that the next two questions are probably redundant because both of them include games that haven't, that aren't out yet, that haven't been released yet, but that are probably that not probably, but that have one of them also hasn't been announced yet. But any news on The Witcher 4? Like in any like maybe internal chatter or something like. Or, but I know you can't probably, you can't even talk about it, even if there were, so I know it's a redundant question.
It is a bit, yeah, because like you say, I couldn't talk about it even if there was, but there
even
isn't.
If there was, yeah.
There isn't. But CD Projekt has gone on record saying that there probably will be more games based in
mm-hmm.
the Witcher world. Yeah.
So I will try to rephrase my next question, so maybe this way you can answer it more easily. Do you think you might have a cameo in Cyberpunk 2077?
Oh, I would love that. I haven't been asked yet, but I would love
okay,
that.
Okay, man. But, I mean, the game did just got pushed back to September, so, yeah.
So it might still happen. You never know.
You never know. at the beginning, you mentioned that you went back to teaching, and may I ask why you why you paused in the first place, and what made you go back to it?
No problem. I'm happy to answer that. I was the course leader of a BA Honors Acting course at the Arts University Bournemouth from 2005 to 2017. And I taught on the course from 2004, so I was there for 13 years, all in all. And that was all during the time that I was recording The Witcher 1, 2, 3, and the DLCs. So I suppose partly why I'm saying that is to say I've taught before mm-hmm. And had an acting career and did, you know, interesting and good work. And I didn't just do The Witcher. I did lots of other games. I did films and various things. I took a break because I was tired.
Understandably, yeah.
Yeah, so I took a little break and I went back to just professional acting for a while. And that was great. I really enjoyed it. And I did okay. But then I started to kind of miss the teaching again. There's something really, really wonderful about meeting young people at the very beginning of their career, mm-hmm. And the very beginning of their training, their education. It's not the very beginning. They've all done drama before. They've done theater classes and stuff like that. They've done amateur dramatics. But taking in these 17, 18-year-olds into an acting course and watching them develop over 3 years. And they become colleagues by the end of it. Mm. There's something just so exciting about that. And I was good at it. And I was a bit bored because as wonderful as acting is, mm-hmm. It can be a bit boring in some ways because your job is to show up and do that job. And, if you're not getting enough work or if the work you're getting is not really challenging you very much, then, you know, it just becomes a money-making exercise and that's not great. I kind of came around to this thought of, well, maybe it's time for me to go back into teaching again. So I started applying and I got several offers and I took one and now I'm back in there.
Oh, that's great. Congratulations then that it also went so quickly. That's nice. I think I know what you're getting at. I mean, like, money in the end is awesome, but what does it bring you if you can't find, like, if your happiness lies somewhere else, so to speak? So if you know teaching makes you happy, it would be dumb to just, like, still follow one path just because for the money, when in the end, you know that somewhere else is somewhere where you would be much happier in the end. So And I mean, you still do have time to act or to lend your voice to characters. So far, are there any upcoming games maybe you can already talk about that you're in or on the horizon?
We've talked about me doing Chernobog in Smite.
Smite, yeah.
So I can't say anything else, but I can say that towards the end of this month in January, I am going to be on the line with Tina again for something.
So I would take a wild guess. You don't have to say anything, but if it's, I'm not sure if it's another god. I would rather vote for a voice pack or something in that regard. But like I said, don't say anything. I don't want to get you into any trouble at all. So looking forward to it though. You're also a gamer yourself. Anything you have played recently, or is the time just not?
You're frozen on me.
Oh, you froze again. Oh yeah, okay. This time you froze too. So that's just Skype, isn't it? This is it. Usually happens with Skype. I don't know why. It's not like the program is only like 2 years old, but never mind. But yeah, any games you have played recently, or just not enough time to do that?
No, I haven't really had much time recently to play games. But what I was playing before Christmas rolled around, and have been kind of playing, well, I recently finished Assassin's Creed Origins, which was great fun.
In Egypt, right? The one?
Yeah.
Oh, I loved that one. Yeah.
Yeah, I absolutely loved it. I had so much fun with it. And it was particularly good because the guy who voices the main character, Abubakar Salim, that's the actor's name, he voices Bayek. And I got to meet him a couple years ago, and we had a great evening, one evening, just you know.
Oh, that's awesome.
Hanging out at an industry party and stuff like that. Yeah. So it was like every time I was playing Assassin's Creed Origins, I was like, hey, I'm hanging out with Abu.
Oh, that's super cool. And actually leads me up to my next question. If there's like any game or rather colleague you really would like to work with, like in the future, had a choice. So many, apparently.
Oh, my God. So many.
Oh, okay.
I mean, just to rattle off a few names, I mean, to be quite honest, Matthew Mercer is right at the top of my list. Do you know about Matthew?
I think so, but maybe I'm mistaking him right now.
He's the game master for Critical Role, which is a televised Dungeons and Dragons.
Okay, yeah, then I was completely wrong. Okay, sorry.
But he's a voice actor as well, and he's just a really cool guy. Mm. Matthew Mercer, Laura Bailey, Troy Baker. I'd love to work with Troy. Nolan North. Love to work with him.
Okay, but many, many people. So what in regard of games, maybe, or even like any, let's make it broader, like any IP you would love to be part in or part of one day?
Oh, man. Well.
Okay, I get it. The question is way too open-ended.
There's just so many. There's so many. I mean, I would love to work on the Tomb Raider game series.
Awesome. Yeah.
I've just always loved Tomb Raider. There's just something about it. Assassin's Creed, I really enjoy. Far Cry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'd love to do
pretty,
some Far
pretty
Cry.
Pretty awesome games, yeah.
The Last of Us.
Oh, yeah, I'm so looking forward to the second part. And I think March it's coming. The first one, what an experience it was, yeah.
Yeah, there's a games company. I can't remember off the top of my head what the developer's name is.
Yeah.
But the game they produced was so astounding to me that I would love to work with them. I would love, absolutely, I would adore working on one of their games. They did a game called What Remains of Edith Finch.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Wasn't it great?
It was so great. The narrative behind it. And I mean, it's in the title, and yet you can see it in the beginning, but I didn't see it coming in the end.
I cried.
Yeah, me too. I was like a little boy. I was sitting there bawling. I was like, no. Why?
I know.
Yeah, totally. And it was just so well done from beginning to end. Like all the individual stories And getting to know every person of every part of the family, every person of the family was so great. I loved that game.
Yeah, so I would love to work with that developer. I just think they they did such a good job with that game. I would love it. I would love it.
Yeah. Cool. Oh, you froze again. I mean, I really don't have any serious questions left. One goofball question, actually, but this is like the listeners of my podcast know that I tend to be a bit awkward, but in the sense that I'm not the one that feels awkward. So what I like to do is I like to impersonate voices, like you know when we do the podcasts and stuff, like. Yeah.
Do not. There is no try.
So I know I'm not that.
Ew, you do a Yoda too.
Exactly.
I have Yoda. Yoda. I am Yoda.
Yeah, yours is Yoda, much better, actually. but like, for example, if I wanted to impersonate your voice or more Geralt of Rivia, like what tip could you give me? Like what should I do to get close to the grumbling, the deepness in his voice?
Right. The first thing to do is to go out clubbing someplace very loud, so you have to shout a lot to be heard. Drink lots and lots of whiskey, smoke cigarettes, get as little sleep as possible, and then wake up and start recording.
Yeah, I mean, the last part, I do have coverage, but the rest I'm still working on. So, but thank you. Good to know.
No. Don't do any of that. Don't do any of that. That's all bad for you.
The question was also not really seriously, so it's all good. Let me give a quick look over. But I think, I've kept you long enough. Duck, thank you so much for taking the time for doing the interview. It was a pleasure. I hope the questions weren't the ones that you hear every other day. So, yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Julian, for having me on. It's always a pleasure to talk about me. Well, you know.
That's the best, isn't it? Like, no, thanks a lot, Doc.
It's not really a chore because I don't have to prepare for it, really. I just get on and have a chat, which is really nice. And you've been a very pleasant host.
Thank you. And we're out. I really hope it wasn't too, it didn't waste your time and it wasn't too boring or anything.
No,
it's
okay.
Great. Two things in the end, if you don't mind. Like one thing, it actually is a bit awkward, even though I'm actually really a guy that rarely feels awkward. But like back in 2014, I got diagnosed with a severe depression. And almost didn't make it, so to say. But in 2015, Witcher 3 came out. I was really looking forward to it because I just loved the games. And it was one of the things, actually, that grabbed me back from the brink. And honestly, even though like you weren't an active part, so to say, you were a passive one, you know, because I just love Geralt. Yeah. So thank you for that. So and thank you for doing the interview, because this is...
Julian, you might not be, but you might be surprised how many people tell me that. I think if you're willing, you should include that in the podcast because that's important. It's important that people hear that. And I recently became a patron of an organization called Safe in Our World. Mm-hmm. It's a UK-based charity that's all about mental health awareness in the video games industry and community. So you should check it out. And I mean, just check it out for interest. Yeah, so I recently became a patron of a charity called Safe in Our World. It's UK-based, but it's global, and it's online, and you can go look it up. And it's all about mental health awareness in the video games industry and community. And they're brand new, and I just think it's really important. The number of people I have met who have told me that they have gone through really bad depression or have terrible anxiety or self-image issues or, you know, whatever it is, all kinds of things. So it's really important that we talk about these things, and that's what Safe in Our World is all about.
Perfect, Doc. Thanks so much. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday. Have a good one.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Cheers.